Today's episode of the Fumble Rooski podcast. Is the NFC South actually going to be good for once? Probably not. Who's taking the number one spot in our wide receiver rankings? Most importantly, Ja'Marr Chase or Justin Jefferson? Who you guys got? This is the Fumble Rooski podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
This is the Fumble Rooski podcast by Power 88 Dean Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. And boy, hope everyone's staying cold and chilly. Got the ACs going right now with this heat wave that's coming in. I don't know how many of you are listening from the East Coast, but creeping up on the hundreds right now on triple digits. Goddamn. But today it's me, Chris Kostic, CJ Medeiros, and resident college student and Ravens fan, Justin Tucker. The good Justin Tucker, not the bad one. Had to throw that in. But we got a good one for you today. But first, real quick, we're going to touch on this very quickly because CJ might blow a freaking gasket if we spend more than 5 minutes on this. Aaron Rodgers on the Pat McAfee show today. I'm pretty sure this is it. Basically implying that this is most likely going to be his final season. CJ has a lot to say about it. But he doesn't want to say a lot about it. I already know that.
Oh, fine. I can. I'll just quickly go through my point. You know something? When I see Aaron Rodgers say, oh, hey, kids, I'm Aaron Rodgers. I do mushrooms. This might be it. I am brought to the quote that was made by former President George W. Bush. Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, you can't get fooled again, or something like that. It's like, remember, there was like a span of 3 years where Aaron Rodgers' trade rumors dominated the news cycles before he actually got traded. It's one of those things where Rodgers, above all else, loves attention, and until he actually hangs it up, I just don't think it's wise to trust him. Like, he has shown no ability to be trusted. Like, that's pretty much it. That's it. That's all.
Tuck, you want to give a quick thought on it?
If he does retire by the end of this year, I want to say congratulations on a fantastic career. He has his moments, but I don't think he's the attention-seeking whore that CJ is making him out to be. I think the trade rumors weren't his fault. I think it was inevitable when Jordan Love got drafted. So, but all in all, he's had a fantastic career, maybe less than what we all expect, but still. An amazing career for one of the best quarterbacks of all time. Not the best, but one of.
Yeah. Could make the debate that he probably played himself out of being like a top three quarterback all time, potentially, but 41 years old, about to be 42 in December. Time's been a ticking for this guy, and who knows, maybe this is his final season. Maybe it's not, but, we'll get away from Rodgers now as we're going to get into our preview of the NFC South going into the 2025 season. The NFC South winner from last year was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And for the however manyth year in a row, the NFC South was just as underwhelming as you would expect it to be. The Buccaneers went 10-7 in first place, Falcons 8-9, and then the Panthers and the Saints rounded out at 5-12 with Panthers actually being in third place compared to the Saints, which not really sure how that really pans out, considering if you actually look at the records and all that between the two. It's basically the same record, conference, division, you name it. Anyways, we'll start from the bottom up. The Saints. Boy, I don't know how these guys just have money. I don't know where they find money from. I just don't know how they have money to make the acquisitions that they sometimes make. I'm blanking on one of them right now, but They still got Chris Olave. They exercised the fifth-year option for him. They signed Brandon Cooks back. Good for them. Jonah Williams got signed as well. And their big draft day pick was Kelvin Banks Jr., offensive tackle from Texas. Tyler Shuck, second-round pick, quarterback from Louisville. And, of course, the biggest thing from this offseason was Derek Carr announcing his retirement so that he wouldn't – basically wouldn't have to steal money from the Saints along with also missing a year with a shoulder surgery. Good move from Derek Carr. But, yeah, this is a Saints team that's missed the postseason in all four seasons since Drew Brees retired. And – it's not really looking that much more up than it was prior to Derek Carr retiring. So if you were to look at the depth chart right now on ESPN, Tyler Shuck is your QB1. Spencer Rattler, Jay Kaner. I mean, in general, this is a massive quarterback race. Massive as in, like, I don't know who you would even start at this point. Still got Alvin Kamara. He still got Chris Olave, as mentioned. Rashid Shaheed, Brandon Cooks, Juwan Johnson. Defense still has Cameron Jordan as one of your big leaders. Justin Reed, Tyrann Mathieu, Chase Young. But that's if he can actually perform well. Chase, one of the more. He's been good, but definitely not hasn't lived up to the hype, at least career wise, as many people would have led you to believe when he first got drafted.
Mm-hmm.
But this, I wouldn't be surprised if this Saints team goes 5-12 yet. And just, it's going to be five straight seasons of missing the playoffs since Drew Brees retired. That's basically the extent that I'm going with on this. But CJ, we'll start with you. Saints, run me down.
Ugh. You know, it's just, you know, it's bad in New Orleans. Like, you really understand it's bad when even their GM, Mickey Loomis, who's been there forever, I don't know if you've heard, but his leash has gotten considerably shorter. The Saints front office is getting really upset about literally being in cap hell every year. And they are upset with him not being, you know, with him like not really making many moves. And also, if you go back and actually look at their draft classes, remember they had that really good one in 2017 where they had like Ryan Ramczyk, Alvin Kamara, Marshawn Lattimore, Marcus Williams, Trey Hendrickson?
Yeah.
They have not had a consistently good draft class since that one. And that was back in 2017. But personally, I do think we should probably leave this more open to discussion. We have three people to talk. What do you think? Like, honestly, and I don't see the Saints doing anything either. This is just a symptom of that.
Right now, I think they're just in a tough position right now. They don't really know what they're doing in the future, which is, if you just look at the quarterback position, they have Tyler Shuck, who has high potential. But unfortunately, I'm not sure if he's that guy, because if he was, he would have gone in the first round. So he's clearly rough around the edges. Hopefully he can pan out considering the retirement of Derek Carr. I believe if they knew about this ahead of time, they probably would have tried to trade it up to get Jackson Dart. Their offensive line situation has gotten better because they did draft someone to help deal with the O-line. The defense, Cam Jordan's there, but it's like, I want to say that they've gotten better, but I don't know what better means for the Saints right now. Hopefully Chris Olave can come back to his former shape, but again, the injury is, it's a little rough. Overall, I don't know what the Saints can do this season to be a playoff team. So the way I see it, they could either trade assets now so they can go into the draft to get more pieces, or try to see if they can do some in trades during the season to come back better next year. I don't see what they can do now to be like an actual threat in the NFC. Or NFC South, but we'll see.
It's almost like they're almost like a a worse Steelers where they just need to hit the reset button, but they just don't hit the reset button. And it's not like they have much of a choice because they're constantly in cap hell, but like, it's kind of like what you just said, Tuck. They might just have to start trading away some assets at this point to actually get themselves to that reset. Yeah. Like they're like, yeah, you're going to have to get rid of a guy like Alvin Kamara. You're probably going to have to get rid of a guy like Chris Olave. Maybe you keep Cameron Jordan around, but like, other than that, like they're like, yeah, you're going to have to make that tough decision of letting a franchise guy go. But if it means like steering your team and your organization back in the right track, you might as well just take the shot at this point. Cause
this my is, problem, this like, who would they give up? Who would, like, honestly, outside of Alvin Kamara, who's up there in age, and you guys know how the NFL feels about running backs around that age, who exactly do you give up in this situation to entice another team outside of him? They have no quarterback for the future. They have no one on the offensive side outside of maybe Chris Olave, who we hope can get back to his former glory. The defense, Kool-Aid McKinstry, Cam Jordan's past his prime, sorry to say it, but he's past his prime to where he doesn't have any of value. It's not 2017 where they had that hall of a draft class. It's like, where do you guys go from here? Anybody of value is pretty much already left, like Trey Hendrickson when he went to the Bengals. It's getting rough.
No, yeah, you got a point. And I keep saying this only because it's true. The only way this gets better is that you first have to get rid of Mickey Loomis. You all know that I've been championing this forever because they're not competitive. Honestly, we should probably just move on to a different team right now because the Saints, we know what they're going to get. They're going to finish last again. Even the Panthers are going to be better. But it's really for the Saints. It's not about this upcoming season. It's more about their future that we should actually have any kind of interest in.
Yeah, and you mentioned the Panthers. Let's go right into it then, because I'm very excited about the Panthers this year. Very excited. You know, Bryce Young had some flashes last year that got him back into the starting role. Xavier Leggett has been proven to be a solid wide receiver. Adam Thielen still has a lot of gas in the tank. They just drafted Tet McMillan. They got a solid running back room in Chuba Hubbard and Rico Dowdle, Trevor Etienne as their third. Got some solid defensive guys, Josie Jewell, JC Horn, still could use some work on the defensive side, but either way, this is a Panthers team that I think a lot of people are expecting to gain a lot of ground this season. I'm thinking definitely better than 5-12. I don't think it's good enough to win the division, but I think that they will play at a level where they'll turn some heads and it'll be a good, we'll call it a good progress year for 2026.
I see them being better. I think Bryce Young hit that switch where he's starting to like understand the game and starting to slow down for him. The one that really got to me was like the game against the Eagles where you saw like it was getting broken down the way he was seeing the field, the way he was performing in the clutch. Even though he wasn't able to pull it off, it wasn't his fault. Xavier Leggett just didn't catch it. So I'm liking the progression he's making. I like the pieces he has around him. I like McMillan and the progress he's making in camp. As reports are showing, Xavier Leggett can be a solid number two, or can be either a solid number two or the one, depending on how that pans out. Adam Thielen's a serviceable slot. They have a good running game in Chuba Hubbard and Jonathan Brooks. Their defense may be the only solid question, but again, if J.C. Horn can stay healthy, I think he'll be a Pro Bowl corner. That's how valuable I see him. I think Derek Brooke and a few others along that line can help this team out. I see them between 8-9 and 10-7, either just barely missing the playoffs or barely squeaking in. I think they can be that good in the direction that they're headed right now.
Yeah, I also believe that the Carolina Panthers, the ceiling is probably around 500 for them. I don't know if they're ready to make the playoffs just yet, But it all comes down to Bryce Young. And I know McMillan's a rookie, and I am also aware that, whatever his name is there, Leggett has some room to improve. But when I take a step back, the eye test and reality are very different things. Because when you actually look at how Bryce Young actually played, like not even looking at the box score, but how the team was outside of him, there seems to be a disconnect, you know, and you can call me a box score watcher. You could call me whatever, but just the eye test and reality just didn't really match. And I would also go as far as to say that I'm not sold on the entire defense yet. Cause Derek Brown, he's coming back from injury. I like Horn, but he's another one where he just can't stay healthy. So I do think they're going to be better than the Saints, though. At bare minimum, they're going to be better than the Saints. Make no mistake. But it's all going to come down to Young. If you are Bryce Young, you cannot have a slow start. You cannot have another, oh, will he be that good? Will he, won't he year? Like, you can't have that. You have to hit the ground running. And it's really important because the NFC South especially isn't really that stacked.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen the NFC South be like this for the last, I'm going to say like 6 years maybe, or not even that actually, probably the last couple of years since Brady retired. And I mean, NFC South has just been bonkers in general. Before that, with that being said, if it remains the same, then yeah, the Panthers would have a chance. But I feel like that this is going to be the year where the NFC South, like, there's going to be one or two teams that's finally going to break away from that mediocrity. The Panthers could be that team, but I'm also going to agree, like, they're probably going to stay around that 500 range and stay at third for this season. Going to, Tuck, what's that look for?
It depends on the next team we're about to talk about.
Yeah, the Atlanta Falcons. I guess that's the big thing, right? Michael Penix going to be the full-time starter? Is it going to be Kirk Cousins? Or is it going to be one guy for a couple weeks and they suck and then they go to the second guy? The Falcons are a very funny situation right now. So a team that many people thought were going to be a Super Bowl team, but realistically they just fell completely flat, and Kirk Cousins suffered from the Aaron Rodgers symptom of coming off of his Achilles tear and not putting up, well, Rodgers put up decent numbers, but Cousins put up less than favorable numbers. So that's the biggest thing, is if Kirk Cousins can get back to what he was in Minnesota, or just pre Achilles tear. If they go with Michael Penix, are these two guys going to perform? That's basically what it comes down to.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is.
Yeah. The Falcons are pretty open and shut. It's literally just, can they perform? Not just Penix, but Kyle Pitts, almost exclusively Kyle Pitts. I'm so done with this. And even as a fantasy owner, like, I know better than to say, oh, maybe it's going to be Kyle Pitts' breakout year. I have seen so many people get burned by it, and it's just not going to happen to me. It's one of those things where just Kyle Pitts, blink, man. Give me any sign of life. And for the Falcons, once again, it all depends on Penix. I used to hate their pass rush, but they literally just got the two Georgia guys. No. Not the two Georgia guys. They got the dude from Tennessee as well.
Yeah.
But James Pierce, and I am blanking on the Georgia.
Jalen Walker,
that's it. So, yeah. I think the pieces are there, especially that A.J. Terrell's in the backfield. Everyone forgets how good he is. He's really underrated. But can Penix take that next step? And can the young guys step up? Because they're also kind of a young team, because London's on the younger side. You know, Bijan is a breakout year. I mentioned the two guys that they just drafted. They're a young team, so let's see if the youngins can really step it up there, especially because the Bucks are getting older and the Saints are neither here nor there. And the Panthers, I think, are a year off from actually being a true threat in the NFC, or at least 2 years.
I like what Atlanta has done for the most part in the draft to address that defense. I'm not sure if I'm fully solid about their offense so far. Hopefully I feel more confident outside of their backfield, of course. I'm more looking at the weapons, and I like Drake London, and I like Darnell Mooney, but I feel like there should be another guy I should be more concerned of in this day and age so I can really feel like they're a threat. I will say this. Atlanta has done everything they can to address the pass rushing position on that side of the ball, on the defensive side of the ball. If these two pass rushers can't get the job done, I'm not sure they can do anything else to help alleviate the situation. I like the Xavier Watts pick from out of Notre Dame. I think he'll be solid for them in the back end. As you said, we have A.J. Terrell. I think they can be a solid team, and that's what you really need to be in order to win this division. I think they can be a very solid team, but it really depends on how well Michael Penix does for this team, because I think he will be the starting quarterback in 2025.
I'm sorry, we're not going by that. What did you call their quarterback?
Michael Penix?
It's Penix.
Penix.
Penis.
Why didn't you correct me when I did it?
Well, I didn't want to jump in mid-take, but... it's probably nothing he hasn't heard.
But so, I think he'll be the starting quarterback.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. If it ends up being Kirk, then yeah, I think that Penix is probably going to end up just being a starter at some point. But all right. Moving on to the division winner, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, finishing at 10-7 season. And losing to the Washington Commanders in the NFC wildcard game at home. Baker Mayfield, he's back. Mike Evans, he's top 10. Chris Godwin, he's back. I think the biggest loss they really had was losing Carlton Davis in free agency to the Patriots. But other than that, he ended up picking up another wide receiver in the draft. First round pick, Amika Egbuka, wide receiver from Ohio State.
Solid.
As you can tell from the way I'm talking about the Buccaneers, I'm feeling very, very, very high about Tampa Bay this year. Especially because, like, last year, they were dealing with a lot of injuries and whatnot. They didn't have Mike Evans for 4 weeks. They didn't have Chris Godwin for half the season. Cade Otton, look out for him. He could be a top 10 guy this year. That entire month where they didn't have Mike Evans or Chris Godwin, he was the number one target. He was getting all the targets. He was leading the league in all receiving, basically, during those 4 weeks.
Chris, are you forgetting someone on that offense?
I'm still working through everyone right now.
Okay.
Let him work.
Let me work. Bucky Irving. Rashad White. Whoa. I'm excited for Bucky Irving. That's for sure. Still got Antoine Winfield. Picked up Hassan Reddick. Lavonte David. Still got Vita Vea roaming around as your nose tackle.
Yep.
I see this team being a 12-13 win team.
12-13. Like, ooh.
12-13 wins.
That's a lot. That's a lot.
But if anyone is on this in the NFC South is going to break away from that mediocrity that I was talking about, it's going to be Tampa Bay this year.
I think so. I think they're still going to win the NFC South just based upon the new additions they made. I'm not sure that Chris Godwin will be back to form when he comes back, but Emeka Ogbuka will be just serviceable before he comes back. I believe Bucky Irving will be the starting running back. I think Rashard White will be the backup. I believe Shake and Bake Baker Mayfield. Oh, man, I miss that nickname. I miss Shake and Bake. We'll throw another 35-plus touchdowns. I believe that's the sweet spot they need in order for them to make the playoffs. And I think the underrated side of the team is their defense. You're telling me they have Viavea, Levante David, and low-key, the one I'm most excited about is their second-round pick, Benjamin Morrison. If he can stay healthy, if he can stay healthy and be what he was at Notre Dame, oh, that is a steal and a half. If he can stay healthy, I think that is an underrated pickup by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So I am more than excited to see what they do on the defensive side of the ball, that they still have Vita Vea and Levante David on that team. I think they're going to make the playoffs again, and I think they're going to win that division. I was surprised that they lost in the wild card round last year. I think they're going to make up for it this year. I think Baker Mayfield is going to be on a mission, and they might surprise a lot of people this year. I'm not sure about 12, 13 wins yet, but I see a solid 11. I see a solid 11.
I do think they're going to do better than 10 wins, right? Because you have first-round pick, Emeka Ogbuka is literally your wide receiver 3. Yeah. And you've got Evans and Godwin. I want to see Bucky Irving take the next step. Baker, of course, still good. I think the offensive line is kind of underrated. I want to see Cade Otton take a next step. But for me, there's someone on defense that you guys haven't talked about yet.
Kalijah Kancey?
No. Yaya Diaby, man.
Yes.
He really, like, in his first season, this guy, Kumail not even starting most of the games, was like got racked up. Actually, no. In his second season, started, like, not even, like, starting most of the game, still wound up with 39 solo tackles, 4.5 sacks, and a forced fumble. I can't wait to see what he's going to do, you know, now that he's actually a full-time starter. And honestly, that seems to be the story of the NFC South, like you guys mentioned. Not a whole lot for me to add. It seems like there's Tampa, then everyone else. Your Tampa, just take some solace in the fact that the division is yours to lose.
I see that. But again, I don't think Atlanta's that far behind. I need to see what the quarterback does for me to be like, okay, I see your point.
Also, I'm not the biggest fan of Todd Bowles as a coach either, but as long as you got Baker throwing over 30 touchdowns, he'll be fine.
Yeah. I'm so happy for Baker to finally get his chance in Tampa Bay. I'm finally happy he's found a home. Thank God it wasn't Cleveland.
Yeah, thankfully.
They look like a solid team. They might actually be a Super Bowl dark horse.
Tampa? Yeah.
But again, is Chris Godwin healthy right now?
Right now?
I
would say Chris Godwin is healthy, is probably almost at 100% at this moment, if he isn't already.
What injury? I swore to you I thought he had a worse injury than what?
It did look terrible. Now I'm blanking on what the injury even was.
I'm trying to look. It was a left ankle. It was a left ankle. All right.
Yeah. Yeah, he should be good by now. So he's going to be at 110% by week one.
If that is the case, oh, my God. That wide receiving core is stacked.
Yeah, especially if Ogbuka, like, really performs in his rookie season. But, I mean, outside of those three, though, that we're talking about, like, Jalen McMillan's still good. Sterling Shepard's still solid. Trey Palmer. Like, they have a somewhat deep wide receiver room.
Yeah. My only question is, who's going to be the slot guys? Is it Emeka or is it Godwin?
Probably going to have to be Godwin, right?
Have to.
Yeah, if Godwin's healthy.
Yeah. We'll see. All right.
Well, that was our preview of the NFC South heading into the 2025 season. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to give our top five wide receivers for the 2025 season. This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast. CJ Medeiros, Justin Tucker, I'm Chris Kostich. Top 5 wide receivers heading into this season. This could be fun. I like it. I like wide receivers. This is where the rankings get real fun. Mm-hmm. These last 2 weeks right here, it's going to get real fun. Who wants to go first?
Tuck, how about you?
Are we starting our way from 5 back to 1, or are we just...
Yeah, 5 to 1. Or, yeah. I mean, you can do whatever the fuck you want, really, but...
All right. My top five was... for my 5th spot, I had Nico Collins in my 5th spot.
Okay.
Do you guys disagree?
No, we're...
It's not my top...
Explanation, man. Come on.
The reason he's in my top five is because I believe he's one of the more underrated receivers in the draft. I mean, in the NFL, I believe he will show once again why he is a top 5 wide receiver. I believe the connection he has with CJ Stroud is amazing. I believe his route running capabilities is amazing. And I think he's good for what the Houston Texans want to do. And as far as what CJ Stroud wants from his receivers, I think he'll take another step forward and I think he'll improve in some area.
All right. Just we're gonna go through down the line. We're not alternating.
We're not alternating.
No.
Nope. So just go real quick explanation. Keep moving, man. What's your number 4?
Number 4. Fuck it. Puka Nacua. I think Puka Nacua is my number 4 wide receiver. We already know how good Puka Nacua is. I don't think I need to say too much. Every time you see him on the field, you know he's already the threat. And him having Davante Adams by his side will make that even more so of a problem. I don't think you can double-team him and Davante Adams. You have to pick and choose. And sometimes he'll have a one-on-one. And if he has that one-on-one, ladies and gentlemen, that is a problem. I think Puka Nacua is a stout route runner. I think the rapport he has with Matthew Stafford is elite. Some of the catches he makes is unbelievable. And I think he is going to go do more and more and more. And I think sooner or later he'll have a season like Cooper Kupp did in 2021. Be a triple crown receiver and get close to Calvin Johnson's all-time record. That leaves my number 3, 2, and 1. I've been going back and forth with this whole damn list. And correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but I believe I had someone else at number 3, but...
CD Lamb.
Yeah, I had CD Lamb as my number 3. I believe his season wasn't that good based upon the fact that the Cowboys season overall wasn't good and they needed more. Dak Prescott got injured last year, right? And that's what...
Well, name a year that he got injured.
Sorry. But I believe he'll have a bounce back year where he'll be a solidified top 3 wide receiver, I think, sooner or later. Along with the addition of Crash Out King himself, George Pickens, as the solidified number 2, I think he'll get more chances as the number 1 and be a amazing number 1 receiver for the Dallas Cowboys. And I think he'll have somewhere, like, I'm not going to name stats, but I think he'll be amazing. Which leaves my number 2 and number 1. My number 2 is Ja'Marr Chase. The Triple Crown runner himself, it was between him and another one who I'll name shortly, but I can't put him number 1. He's not better than the guy I have at number 1, but he is amazing in his own right. I had to watch him twice a year kill my defense for over 400 yards receiving, several touchdowns. Let's not get into that. He's so awesome, amazing, this, that, and third. He's an amazing deep ball receiver and intermediate route runner. And yeah, the rapport he has with Joe Burrow is amazing, and can't wait for him to show up in Baltimore again and kill my secondary. And last but not least is Justin Jefferson. I don't need to say anything else about Justin Jefferson. Even with subpar quarterback play, Justin Jefferson is, without question, the best wide receiver in the NFL, bar none. And his number two, Jordan Addison, isn't bad, but I feel like he does more with less than compared to everyone else. So overall, this is my list.
It's a nice list you got there.
Thank you. I do try. It was close between Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson, but I got Justin Jefferson just edging him out slightly.
I feel like that Jettas and Ja'Marr Chase are both just going to be flip-flopping back and forth between, like, one of them's going to be number one year, and then the other one's going to be number two the next year, right? Like,
yeah.
Last year, I think most people had Justin Jefferson as their number one, and probably this year it's going to be the opposite for, I feel like, a lot of people because of the Triple Crown. But obviously, Tuck, with you, there's people like you that still have Jettas as their number one, which, yeah. CJ, top five.
Alrighty then. So my number five, you know, this was weird because I feel like obviously the top two across all spectrums are Chase and Jefferson. If you're an LSU fan, you're thrilled with that development. But for me, my number five is probably CD Lamb. And yeah, my number five, I really had to stop and think about it, but yeah, you know, last season coming off 101 catches, over 1,100 yards, 6 touchdowns. I'm worried about what we'll call his handcuff. And I know what you're thinking. Oh, but great wide receivers have handcuffs all the time. You know, Ja'Marr Chase has T. Higgins. Justin Jefferson has Jordan Addison. But the thing is, Lamb has kind of always been a guy who flies solo. And don't give me this, oh, but he hit Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks was not a wide receiver one when he went to Dallas. He was, I won't say past his prime, but he was in the twilight years of his career there. But he's never had to play alongside another wide receiver one. And Pickens, why would you add that to your locker room? He's going to fit well in Dallas. Just keep him away from Jerry. So moving on from that, I mean, I still think CeeDee Lamb's going to be top five, though. I mean, it's CeeDee Lamb. He's just that good. Moving on to my number four, give me A.J. Brown. 67 catches last season, over 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns, while missing 4 games, I might add. And, by the way, I don't want to undersell him, make that Super Bowl champion A.J. Brown. This man's already got a taste for success. He's hungry as ever. He's absolutely looking to get back. And honestly, he's channeling his inner Brady. You know, he's a big fan.
That's nasty.
Yeah, you know, look, he's channeling his inner Tom Brady. He's reading books on the sidelines. That's a man who definitely has that he's definitely got that want for it. And I got to put A.J. Brown at number four. He's literally just a dog. So moving on to my number three, give me Amon-Ra St. Brown. You want to talk dog? Look no further than this guy. 115 catches last season, over 1,200 yards, 12 touchdowns, setting a career high in receiving touchdowns, by the way. He's one where I have to put him at three because I don't view him as having a really significant handcuff. I mean, I, for one, am tired of playing the will he, won't he with Jameson Williams. Oh, will he finally step up? Will he be the 1A? Will he be? I think he's good, but I just think Amon-Ra is that much better. And St. Brown, what his big strength is that he's an absolute monster in the red zone. He is that guy you look for. And this man just runs up numbers in the red zone like there's no tomorrow. So yeah, give me him at number three. My number two, though, is the Triple J himself, Justin Jefferson. Fun fact, I call him Triple J because middle name's Jamal. That's cool. I like alliteration. But yeah, once again, 103 catches last season, over 1,500 yards, 10 touchdowns, second time in his career he's gotten to that double-digit mark. For me, what I'm not crazy about, and it's not even that he is Jordan Addison, who's a wide receiver one in his own right, it's that his QB situation is in flux. We flat out don't know. And don't give me the whole, oh, but he made Sam Darnold look good. Well, Sam Darnold literally spent a year in San Fran learning under that offense with Kyle, with Shanahan there. So I think Jefferson's still going to be good, and I definitely think he's going to make J.J. McCarthy look better than what he is. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I think he's still going to get his numbers in, even if he has to be force-fed. But, yeah, I'm not trashing McCarthy, though. It's just – it's kind of an unknown. But, you know, what is a known? My number one being Ja'Marr Chase. And, Tuck, I know you're not crazy about Chase, given what he does to your defenses on Sundays. And, hey, I get it. That drives me nuts, too. But the triple crown, man, 127 catches, over 1,700 yards, and 17 touchdowns. And honestly, even though he's got that really nasty handcuff named CeeDee Lamb, who, by the way, is a top 15 receiver.
CeeDee Lamb?
Arguably, I don't know. T. Higgins. Yeah, sorry. I was looking at my list, and I just happened to see CeeDee Lamb. But he still has T. Higgins, who in his own right is probably a top 15 receiver. But that doesn't matter because Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow have that connection, and it dates back to when they were at LSU together. So now that everyone in that room has been paid, all they're got to do is just ball out. And they're going to need to because their defense is a dumpster fire. They will be scoring 40 a game, and they're going to be dangerous. The only problem is they're going to be giving up 45. Chris?
They're giving up 50.
Yeah, good list, CJ. Good list.
Thank you. Right. You're very
generous. Now, here's where the big boys play, all right? Big boys play on this table.
Oh, yeah?
Number five, I got Amon-Ra St. Brown. Gotta give it to him. Three straight years, 100 catches, back to back years of 115 plus receptions. Last year, 115, 1,200, 12 tutties. Astounding season. And as you mentioned, CJ, absolute beast in the red zone. I just think that CeeDee Lamb is just that much better than Amon-Ra St. Brown. And that's who I have at number four. CeeDee Lamb. Boy, he is a dog. 101 catches, 1,100 yards, 6 touchdowns. And he didn't play in 2 games. And this is after a year where he had 135 catches for 1,700 yards in double the touchdowns. Imagine what he could have had with those 2 games. And it's kind of the same thing with my number three guy, A.J. Brown. Imagine if he didn't lose 4 games. Granted, we are talking about a guy that is in a much different offensive setup than CeeDee Lamb. A.J. Brown, obviously being in a very run-heavy offense, having to share the rock with Saquon Barkley and Devonta Smith, throwing Dallas Goedert in there. But really, Goddard's the number four. We know that. It's when A.J. Brown is one-on-one with anybody, he is one of the most dangerous receivers in the league. Just physical prowess in general. Throw him split out wide with anybody, and he's coming down with it. And it pisses me off more that Jalen Hurts doesn't throw him the one-on-one balls more often. It pisses me off. It really does. And we'll head into the top two at this point. And, yeah, it's two LSU guys for me. But I got Justin Jefferson at number two. That is a two. And for all I know, Jettis is probably going to have a better year than Ja'Marr and retake that number one spot. That's what I was saying earlier after Tuck gave his rankings, which foreshadowed CJ and I's rankings of having the opposite of what Tuck had in top two. But yeah, I got Jettis there. Like I said, Ja'Marr Chase number one, but interchangeable. There's really I don't think there's really a right answer of who's better between the two because they're just so damn good. They're just so damn good. I think that you could make the argument that Justin Jefferson may be more reliable Sure, you could potentially make that argument. But with what Ja'Marr Chase did this season, winning the Triple Crown in yards, receptions, touchdowns, it's hard to not give him that nod. And I think with Jettas, I think a part of that is we don't really know what his numbers are going to end up being this year with this quarterback transfer to J.J. McCarthy. So for all we know, Jettas is probably going to have a similar year to Ja'Marr Chase from last season, or he's going to have a year where it's kind of like Calvin Ridley, where he has like 60 catches and just barely breaks 1,000 yards. Am I saying that's going to happen? No. But that's the duality of man that is what we don't know what's going to happen without J.J. McCarthy plays.
But, Stop it. All he has to do is throw it up, and Justin Jefferson is coming down.
That too. Yeah, that too. You could just throw it up and just have a fucking day at that point.
If he can make Nick Mullins look like a competent quarterback, he can do it with J.J. McCarthy.
True. You know what? Fair enough. I like that. That's a damn fair point there, Tuck. I like that. I think that I did want to touch on the two guys that CJ and I didn't have.
Touch on two guys?
What?
Sorry.
Hey. Hey, Justin Tucker. If I were you, Justin Tucker, I wouldn't talk anything about touching given your namesake.
I didn't say anything. I did not say anything. Okay. All right. Guys, come on. Real mature.
Puka Nacua and Nico Collins. Those are the two guys basically that are in question here that weren't in CJ and I's top five, but they're in Tuck's top five.
Yes.
Puka. I'd put him at six. I think, like, in terms of top five, I think I got him at six. Nico Collins, I feel like that he's around more the 10 spot for me.
Ooh.
Collins is probably my number nine. Puka is my number six, though.
Yeah. Like, Puka for sure. I think, like, the injury kind of set me off a little bit because he missed so much time last year.
Yeah.
That probably set me going a different direction. But if he shows out like he's been showing out and to a elevated level, because he's going to be the number one now, right? Like,
yeah, I think it's pretty clear.
I don't think anyone is here to say that Davante Adams is going to be the number one. I think he's going to be the number two. Like, Puka Nacua is essentially his team now, right? Like, is essentially Puka's team.
Yeah, I would think so, unless Davante Adams turns back the clock.
Yeah, which is entirely possible.
It's very possible. With,
whatever his name is there, Stafford throwing the ball.
Yeah. How old is Stafford anyways now?
Too damn old.
Very old, but let's... Yeah,
too damn old.
Late 30s?
Let's wrap this John up.
Yes.
So, good episode, boys. Good episode. That's... Mm-hmm. It's all the planned content that we have for today. Anything on you guys' end?
No, I'm good on my end.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm solid here.
Cool. That'll do it for us tonight. Thank you for tuning in. New episode's coming out on next Tuesday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we will rank our top five quarterbacks and get into the NFC West, part of our off-season schedule for this season, along with all the other breaking news that's going on in the NFL news landscape. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Also have all our episodes available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and so much more. Be sure to follow our Instagram, FullMaruski_podcast, to keep up with the podcast and the latest coverage on the NFL. Otherwise, I'm Chris Kostich, there's CJ Medeiros and Justin Tucker. We'll see you next Tuesday. Over and out.